Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Hey there, Game Pass or Pass listeners. This is Ben.
And this is Alex.
And we have a podcast called That Gaming Podcast, where we share opinions about the PlayStation and Nintendo games we're playing right now.
That's right. Just like Corey and Basher here, we get right to the point on what we thought about the games. And we keep it honest.
So find us on your favorite podcast player. And now enjoy this episode of Game Pass or Pass.
It's now time for a very open ring edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to just hop on that fob, get a warthog, and drive on by. I am Corey. I am joined by the AI in my head, Basher.
I hope you have a different relationship than Chief Cortana.
That's up to you, I guess.
It's up to me. She's like a...
I don't know.
She should be like a...
I just work here.
Two-person type of thing, but okay.
I mean, the AI never really asked. I guess it's more up to me.
Right?
Because, like, it just takes the chip and just shoves it in his head. Like, never asks. So I don't know. Halo Infinite. That's what we are here to talk about. It's here. It's a year late. The multiplayer came out, but we're here to talk about the campaign of Halo Infinite. With spoilers, just so everyone knows, we're spoiling it. So if you don't want to hear about Halo Infinite, you need to turn this off right now and come back at a later time. This concludes our journey through every campaign of Halo. And we are going to finish it now with Halo Infinite. But before that, did you know? You can let us know what you think about Halo Infinite. You can write us at gpopfans@gmail.com or you can leave us a voicemail, 574-651-9256. All you gotta do, you call it, shoot a text message, leave a voicemail, and that's it. That's all you gotta do. That's it. This is our last game before we record our Game Pass game of the year. So is it gonna go out with a bang? Halo Infinite. Here are the details. Regularly priced at $59.99. The multiplayer is free to play, by the way. So you really only pay for the campaign. Also note that the Even though it's just a campaign, it requires an internet connection because the data on the disc does not contain the whole campaign. So, good job, Microsoft. Available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, as well as Xbox One X support. There is crossplay between PC and consoles for the multiplayer. I don't know if they've actually said the campaign does not ship with co-op. Will be coming at a later date. So I don't know if they've said anything about crossplay. Campaign. So cloud saves, yes, and currently there is no DLC for this campaign, but this is supposed to be the game for the next 10 years, whatever that means. So they have not really said much about that, but all we know is that they're supposedly going to be updating Halo Infinite, so you're not going to have to keep buying content. Maybe they'll just do it with Game Pass. I don't know. I don't work for Microsoft. Halo Infinite, let's talk about it.
It's about time, right? This is the moment we've all been waiting for, all of us huge, huge Halo fans. So, this game takes place, what, 5 years, I want to say? Was it 5 months or five years?
That doesn't sound right. I think it's like 8 months. Like 8 months. I might be thinking of Halo 4 to 5. I'm not entirely sure if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It doesn't ever say. Like,
I think I do mention this. It's like you've been asleep for months, I think it said. So it starts off a bit rocky for me. You meet a person whose name you don't find out until the end of the game, apparently. He sees you floating in space and he saves you. And
sorry, I don't not to interrupt you. It's 2 years after Halo 5 because this takes place after the events of Halo 5 Guardians and Halo Wars 2.
2 years. Okay.
Yes, 2 years.
I just wanted to say you were away for like months, but years, that works too. I guess no, it wasn't a long amount of time.
Yeah, according to this, it says 18 months. So I don't know.
There we go.
We've got conflicting reports here, internet.
18 months sounds good to me.
What are you doing?
But it's Halo Guardian starts off very linear Halo. And it kind of in a good way, because it kind of eases you into the experience in a way where the first probably 30-minute section or so is just your classic Halo kind of vibe, with the addition of this new character who
is Cortana.
I was referring to the
Cortana to
the Spaniard, but also
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. I'm just gonna call him that guy. He gets a name eventually, but I don't care because he's gonna always be that guy because he's made out to be a lot bigger than what he. I think there's more. I think they cut some things out of this game. starting with that guy, because he is presented early on as if he is the guy, like your companion, like your guy in the sky, like you're always gonna go back to him, or he's gonna be a play a big part of the story, but he just doesn't really do a whole lot at the end of the day.
He's there for writing convenience. Because you need somebody to drop the warthog, right? You need somebody for Chief to talk to that's not Cortana. And we're at the point in the story now to where everyone's either dead or they're missing. You know, like it's not going to be the Arbiter. The Arbiter's not going to be your wingman kind of thing. So he's just kind of there for that reason, I feel like.
No, you're absolutely right. And because of that, he's really extremely flat of a character. But yeah. You get through that to, again, play this, I'm going to say 30 minutes of your standard Halo flair. And then that's when the game kind of opens up. The doors to the ship open up and you're looking at this wide area. You can go anywhere, do anything. And that's where the game kind of, I don't know about you, but I didn't get a rush of excitement there. Or instead, I got a kind of a feeling.
No, I don't know if I agree with that entirely. Like, I think part of the problem with this game is like if you've been following this game after it was delayed and the problems with the reveal and, you know, it just. A lot of its magic, I think, every game is trying to be Breath of the Wild for some reason. And like, they really want you to have that initial, like, here's the open world, you know, like the Fallout 3 thing of we're going to open the doors and we're just going to present you with this world. And it just doesn't do anything for me anymore. This notion that there's a massive open world for you to explore. I'm just like, yeah, okay, you're following the trend of every game since 2013. I'm not going to give you any bonus points for it. So I guess I do agree, actually, but at the same time, like I was indifferent about it. I just didn't really care, I guess.
But I think that's what I meant. Like it didn't present it in a way where it was wowing. And I think that could have been helped. it's like you said, they went very Fallout, very Skyrim, very like expected with it. And they could have done better presenting the open world initially. That said, the first thing you do is take over your first fob, because that's how this game is laid out. It is your standard Ubisoft fare. There are towers, there are outposts, there are whatever the heck you want to call them that you go to, you clear it out, and now they're yours. And these fobs are... they're nothing ever really special. It's, you have a handful of enemies there, you clear them out, and now you have a new quote-unquote base of operations, and it's really just a way to teleport across the map. And then you also get to drop some vehicles and get some weapons. It's just so last gen of a feeling for me.
I'm trying to pick my words carefully, just because it's tough to call it last gen in my eyes, because it's still happening, if that makes sense. Like, and it's not going to go away. I don't think the open, for whatever, I don't understand this trend of open world games. I don't get it, but whatever, it is what it is, kind of thing. I think the open world is not the last gen part to me. It's the lack of unique.
It's the way the open world is played as last gen to me. It's not. I don't care if a game is open world or extremely linear. It doesn't really matter. It's just how you present that gameplay. And this is every open world game you've ever played before. It does. The idea of going to a fob, clearing it out, and they have new base of operations. Great. Go here and destroy the tower, and now you get rep points. Great. I mean, it just doesn't work for Halo. I mean, in order to get new weapons and get new vehicles at any fob location, you have to get I don't know what they call it. Are they called respect points or something?
Valor
points. You get valor points by saving other Marines and destroying towers, but it just doesn't work in this universe, because what Master Chief is, everyone knows who Master Chief is, and he's trying to save the world again, and you're not giving me a Scorpion because I haven't gotten enough valor from these random people. Like, the narrative doesn't fit the gameplay experience, and it just ends up being a copy paste template of an open world game with Halo paint slapped on it.
I can't disagree, but I just don't. I think it's okay. Like, we have talked as we have gone through these campaigns of just how much the story doesn't resonate with a lot of people, and a lot of times it's in the background. So, like, you're totally right. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but at the same time, like, it's the gameplay has sort of now taken forefront over a story, which I feel like hasn't happened since Halo 3. Like, you know, Halo 1 didn't really have a story either, and you know, the historic development of that game of it just barely getting out the door kind of thing. Kind of speaks to it. But then you had Halo 2, which was very narrative focused, and that campaign's kind of a mess. And then anytime Halo sort of removes that campaign as being the story being the focus, it tends to have better gameplay, in my opinion. So, like, you're not wrong. Like, it's kind of dumb that you're on this new Halo, which in itself is just like whatever. But yeah, like, it's very gamified. Like, the world has been gamified. It's like, I should have a tank, because once you unlock the tank, you can unlock, you just do call on the tank whenever you want and you just blow everything up. But it's got a very literal progression of gating you to not get to the things that you want, which forces you to play the game kind of the way that they want you to play it. And I don't think that's wrong, or bad, I should say, but it's completely jarring in some ways after playing Halo and 4 and 5 recently, just because they're the exact opposite.
My personal feeling is the gamifying of this world is so obvious that it takes me out of it about halfway through. Not even halfway through, more than half, earlier than halfway through, because the Halo magic is still there. Like just the pure gameplay of Halo is there and is fun. I like jumping and shooting as Master Chief. That's fun. It's always been fun. It's always going to be fun. But it's just not enough fun for me personally to distract from just how pathetically made this open world is. It's just nothing there. You mentioned Breath of the Wild earlier. It's very much that in a way where you can go there, but there's nothing there. But even worse than Breath of the Wild, because in a game like Breath of the Wild, there's enough programmed gameplay there that the user, the player, can make their own fun. A lot of things that you see people doing Breath of the Wild at this point, the developers did not plan for them to do that. Like, that's just something that they figured out that they can do in this world that creates its own kind of fun. Whereas Halo Infinite, that sort of randomness is not there. That sort of take over a fob however you like isn't really there, because there's really only three ways to do anything in Halo. You shoot it, blow it up, or you shoot it again. Like, there's not any real, and adding a grappling hook doesn't do anything to make that different. Like, you're still just playing Halo, but just instead of going front to back, you can go left and right now. And it just doesn't add anything for it to me.
Yeah, I think you said something about like how you sort of, I don't want to say tapped out, but you it didn't do anything for you after a little while. And I found myself with Infinite, I have a lot of fun for like an hour, and then I'm kind of like, okay. Like, I think I'm good. Like, I kind of want to play something else. But that first hour every time is awesome. Like, whenever I go back to this game, I'm just like, oh, that's cool. Like, this time I've got a sniper rifle, and I've got some grenades, and I got an AR. Like, I'm going to go attack this base thing with this and see what happens. And it's fun. Like, I have fun. But then I kind of just do that again. You know, like, there's... The Halo gameplay is good, but similar to what you said, I don't think there's enough here to satiate that everything else that you want out of an open world game. And there's no real challenges. Like, and both of us don't even really like Breath of the Wild, but now we're kind of defending it, which is strange. Like, Breath of the Wild has the shrines, but it also has the dungeons and it has the towns and all that. And it's like, you know, the open world gameplay isn't that great, but the driving factor are the puzzles and stuff. And it's like, there's a lot of little things that you can do. And in Halo Infinite, there's a lot of little things that you can do, but they all kind of play into each other. You're not doing anything drastically different. You're either taking a warthog or you're not. You know, like, maybe you'll run up and instead of using a warthog, you'll use a ghost. And again, it's not bad, but after that first hour, I'm just kind of over it. And the progression is sort of different as you get like a pelican and then you get the tank, you get the scorpion. And there are more linear missions sort of interwoven in between this campaign. But my time in between those is too far. And once I get the pelican and the tank, the scorpion, I'm no longer using the things before.
Game over.
Right. Like, I'm just flying
it. It's not a game anymore. Like, it's literally just right. Like, I need to take on another fob, let me get the scorpion. 3 seconds later, you're done. Like, it's the progression in this game is just not well thought out. It's not even fun in a way where you think of a game like Metroid, like where it's like by the end of Metroid, you're playing it differently, you're doing things differently. Like there's you have an entirely different arsenal of things that make you almost a brand new character, whereas the progression in Halo Infinite is like you get better shields. Great. I'm still just jumping and shooting. You can grapple more now. Okay, that's cool, but that doesn't drastically change any way that I'm playing the game. It doesn't drastically change Master Chief. From the beginning to the end of this game, you spend so many hours looking for so many power-ups, for so many armor upgrades, just for nothing to change. If anything, the only thing that changes is you do less of the things. I found myself, just like I've done in Breath of the Wild and other open world games, I found myself just completely bypassing enemies and fights at certain points because I'm trying to get to my destination. Like the enemies no longer matter to me. The upgrades no longer matter to me. Like I have an hour to play this game and I'm just wanting to get from point A to point B, and I no longer even care that there's a super brute in front of me. I'm just going to grapple behind him, above him, hold X, start the mission, end the mission, and call it a day.
My question would be, does that really matter? Like, I agree entirely that when you... What's the word I'm looking for? I think you're boiling it down a little too much in that... Like, you're not wrong. Like, this game is not amazing by any standards in terms of like what it does. But I think the point of it is just giving you those Halo feel of that original Halo over and over, and giving you of just like, I've got this small open world and I'm gonna explore this area at this point. Like, the game is very much broken up into subsections and you can explore it, and it gives you, you know, a couple of, you know, go find the, I don't remember what they call the upgrade points, but like, go open the chest there. You can go open the chest here. There's a super enemy over here. You know, we're going to give you that 10 to 12 times over this open world, and you're going to have fun with that. And it's not amazing, but I feel like that's kind of what people want from Halo. And I think what's lost on you and I is that the campaign and the different, my biggest issue with the game is the lack of variety in areas. Like, the difference between this and a normal Halo campaign, other than linearity, is that, bro, you're in the same environment, the same two environments through the whole game, and that's it. And that is very wearing on me, because it's like, dude, I need to be able to look at something else about it. It's a long-winded way of me saying, like, I think you're right in that it's very basic, but I struggle to say that it's bad because of that. I think it's just it's a growing pain of the game, and it should be better considering how long it was in development. And I'm not advocating that it's a 10 out of 10, but I think it's better than a bad open world game.
I mean, I think that's where my opinion may be getting a little lost. I'm not saying it's a bad open world game. I'm saying it's a completely uninspired, boring open world game. It's right there in the middle.
I mean, I think that would be bad.
I mean, like, well, it would be if it wasn't Halo. The same way in Breath of the Wild, it would be if it wasn't Zelda. Like, again, the Halo...
I don't know.
The Halo magic is still there. The Halo magic, like, the Halo fun is still fun. So, like, if it wasn't Halo, it would be... I would lean completely on it being bad side of things, but it's like you said, that first hour is still Halo fun. It's just hour hour mark, 1 second mark, and it's like, oh, this is boring as heck now. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing to do. There's no reason to do it. And you can tell this is not, you can tell they're not really versed in making these type of games, because the pacing, I think, drastically in a negative way affects the story, the actual campaign, because there's only about, I really think it's only about 6 missions of the main campaign.
It's about 3 to 4 hours total.
Like, if you just
Of main campaign.
If you streamline this, you could beat the campaign like in a sitting, like an hour and a half or something. Like literally, like, it's nothing. Like, they want you to spend so much time in the world that they forgot to construct actual campaign missions. Like, there's only a handful of them. And the first, if there's 6 campaigns, the first 5 are literally like a half an hour run.
The last one
being like a 2 hour run or something. Like,
right, yeah, it kind of just info dumps you at the end, but in the form of a long level.
It's completely, utterly terrible. Like the pacing is garbage.
Yeah, it's
and all for the sake of, look, you can go left and right now in Halo. And it's like, that's not enough. But to your point though, like, when they focus on the campaign more than the gameplay, it was bad on both ends. So like, I understand it's difficult to do, but this attempt, I think, is mostly a fall on your face.
I don't feel right saying I agree in terms of, I don't, not that it's that harsh or whatever, but I don't know. There's just, I struggle to be like, something about it is clicking with me that I can't exactly put into words. Now, I say that, and I still think, like, if I had to rank this in terms of Halo games, it would not be anywhere near the top, in any capacity. But there's just something about it that does click with me for that hour and a half to 2 hours that I play it. But I do want to touch on, you know, the campaign missions when it breaks out. And I think they are, offensive is not the word I want to use, but it's just, they're not good. And the quote boss fights of this game are not good either. They are not designed well for a first person shooter in any capacity. Like, I don't know any of the names, but the guy where he's got a gravity hammer and you go and hit the button and suddenly he just like appears behind you and then he can just kill you with one leaping hit. And it's just like, I found out that you basically, if you melee him, you cancel his attack. There is zero tutorial. There's zero, you know, anything, any notion, any hint, anything that you can sort of block this guy's attack. And they're all kind of designed that way. And what happens is that they have a shield. You just have to keep sort of pumping bullets into them till the shield goes down and then their health goes down. And it's not intuitive at all, especially since you don't get that much ammo. You kind of end up running around looking for ammo, and sometimes you find it, sometimes you don't. Like, there's a lot, like, the design of the campaign missions are not good in my opinion. And I think what also hurts it a lot for me is that the lack of enemy variety. Like, we are still just fighting grunts, elites, and basically brutes.
Still.
Yeah, like, and we do have like the skimmers and the, don't even get me started on, oh my god, the there's a new race that somehow survived the Halo blast originally, because that was all for the flood. And but what do they call them, what was their name, Harbinger. Like, just is bad. Is straight bad. Like, I did enjoy the one where you have to fight the Guilt of Spark thing and like the suit, and he's got the 4 tentacles. Like, that was kind of fun.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that character itself, I think, is just more fun. Like, the short time he was on, like, just the way he presented himself, and then to jump into that suit, it was just, yeah, I agree. That was a more fun fight, but he was also a more fun character. Like, he
right.
He brought some levity love it from the enemy standpoint, whereas like the other enemies are so just like that's super.
The banish suck. Like the banish are not fun to fight. Like they're not. They're like weaker brutes basically, except the ones that have like the super armor. Like that's where the game really starts to falter for me. Is just like there's just not a lot here in terms of enemy variety, in terms of weapon variety. Like there's just not a lot here, and when you combine that with the campaign mission, that they're very spread apart. And I mean, if you mainline it, I guess it's just. It's messy. It's very, very messy. And while I do enjoy moments of it, like I look at Halo 3 and I don't know what it is about Halo 3 that just works for me. Like this isn't that much different than Halo 3. There's linear missions and is it the Flood? Like I know people hate the Flood, but I've always been a person that likes the Flood because I think it adds some variety to it. Like it's super annoying when they show up and there's just Flood after Flood after Flood, but it gives you something else to do throughout the game. And even though the Banished are new to the first person, they're in, you know, Halo Wars 2, but you never fought them this way. You fight them the exact same way that you fight everything else. And it's just like, I don't know, to me that's just super weird. Like what's the point of the Banished if you just do the same thing? I don't understand.
I mean, what's the point of it at all? Because to start talking more about the story, just briefly, it turns out.
I mean, briefly, there's not a lot.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the other thing. Like, okay, so, you end up chasing Cortana's ghost, and you have this AI the entire time. And she is
the weapon.
Just referred to as the weapon. And I hate to just keep dogpiling Halo lore and picking it apart, but I love my sci-fi, so I understand the human idea that we need AI or that we want to develop AI. Why does the Halo universe take that to a level of let's develop AI that has emotional breakdowns in the middle of a mission, like pull it back a bit, like Chief is having like a lover's qualm, like in the middle of a mission, right? And it's like stop it, like to a point where like the weapon is being like sarcastic and combative in the most ex-girlfriend type of way, like just like stop it, like. Like you're not real, but whatever. So like you have the weapon and you're chasing like this the ghost of Cortana, which the whole time I'm thinking you're going to actually eventually run into Cortana in some way, shape, or form, but you don't, because it turns out Cortana's dead and they killed her off screen. The second most important character in the series was off screen. I don't understand how anyone on this planet can play through every Halo game and say with a straight face that these stories are even decent at this point. The lore of this game is trash. It is told in the worst way possible. These are some of the worst storytellers I've seen in gaming from a major franchise, I'm going to say, ever. Like, this is no way you're going to off Cortana off screen just so later on in the story you can find out the weapon happens to be a copy or backup of Cortana. In which, when you ask the weapon her name, she says, "I think I have the perfect name." So you just all you did was try to fix what you did with Cortana with this horrible idea of a retcon, so Chief can continue with his Cortana model. That's the whole purpose of this game, is to get back to point one of Chief and Cortana, a green guy with his holographic girlfriend. That's the whole point of this game. Nothing happens in this game. Like, there's no direction this goes in where you're like, oh, so what happens next? Like, we already know what happens next. The secret always happens in Halo. Like, there's nothing happens. And it's, again, what's the point? If I never have to pick up this game again, I will be so happy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm a little bit like flabbergasted at the point that we're at, because like I fully understand why 343 did this the way that they did. Like, they introduced a new enemy type, which they tried to do in Halo 4 with the Prometheans, but it didn't really work. You know, with the Endless. Oh, that's what my brain just remembered. The Endless. That's the new faction. Like, it really feels like a soft reboot in a lot of ways. But what the part that I don't understand is that why did you feel the need to just reboot Cortana? Like, that's the part that I don't understand, is from a writing standpoint, why was your end game to simply rekindle or rehash what you've already done? You can still have Master Chief have an AI that doesn't have to be Cortana. Like, I don't want to sit here and, you know, from a writer, you know, from my desk and say this is how they should have done it, but I don't understand what they were doing. And they never really talk about Halo 5. Like, they sort of do. Like, they sort of hinted that Cortana was still rampant, or not rampant, but whatever she was at the end of Halo 5, the enemy. And they sort of talk about it, but she ends up sort of saving the day, right? Which doesn't really make any sense considering where Halo 5 ended, but whatever. I understand. You wanted to stop doing the story that you were. You needed to retcon it because nobody liked where it was going. You wrote yourself into this corner, but it almost feels like it was the worst possible way to write yourself out of it, was we want to get back to where we were. It's like, it would have made more sense to just find Cortana at the end.
Right.
And write your way out of it, of just being like, she found a way to not be rampant. It's just like, so were you so focused that you needed Cortana to be in this game at all times from the perspective of behind the curtain and the AI in Master Chief's head, because that's what we do now? Like, that's what you have to have, is Cortana and Master Chief. It's just, it's super weird to me that that's where we landed. And we don't ever really learn anything about the Endless, like, almost anything. Like, who are they? Why do they exist, kind of thing? And, you know, the after scene, the after the credits, it's like Atriox is alive, and it's just like, okay, but you never really told me, like, unless you played Halo Wars 2, which I have, but I still don't really know who Atriox is. What was the guy's name? Eshem or something like that? Like,
I don't know.
It's
like Ashem or something.
It was a lot of writing to get to a point of a soft reboot, but the writing wasn't good. And so I'm super just sort of confused why it took them so hard, like so long, and a full game to reboot it. That's where I'm confused. So I'm with you, and it's just like, it's a mess. Like, it's a total freaking mess. But at the same time, like, I'm excited that, not excited, that's not the right word. I am sympathetic that they have now, like, they've clearly figured it out, right? That we have to stop with this trying of making these characters part of this bigger world, and always, you know, not everything needs to be part of this grand universe. We've got Master Chief and we've got Cortana. They go on missions together. Like, that's what they need to focus on.
That's all you have to do. Right.
And they can do that now.
So, but they won't, though, because the Endless are back. The Harbinger,
which succeeded,
and now the Endless are back in.
But that's fine. But if it focuses on Chief and Cortana figuring out who the Endless are, and us, you know, them taking them down, great. And it's, again, it's not a problem I would want to write myself out of, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just, it's super strange that after playing 4 and 5 recently, it's just like, I look back at Halo 4 and even as messy as it is, it's far cleaner than this. Really, like, you establish really a new enemy.
Yep.
And you got people's interest, or, you know, you killed off a major character in a way that I think it wasn't amazing writing, but it made sense. It flowed with how the rest of the game was going. And it's just like, she just should have stayed dead, man. Like, I just don't get it, how we got here, kind of thing. Again, they did it. They've done the thing now to where they can focus again. But holy crap, getting there was super messy. And at the same point, it's just like, why didn't you just, like, you start the game with, if you did not play Halo Wars 2, which a lot of people didn't, let's be honest, I like that game a lot, but it did not set the charts on fire. You don't even know who Atriox is. Like, the game starts with this big dude. He grabs Master Chief and drops him out of a ship, and it's like, wait a minute. Like, what just happened here?
Did we play Halo Wars 2 here?
Yeah, we did.
We did? Okay. I remember the first one. I remember the second one. I got you.
Yeah. And so it's just, I don't know. It's super freaking messy. That was a long-winded way to just say it. It's super messy. But
I didn't even understand Atriox's... I didn't even understand his drive. I truly didn't, because
he's angry,
but just an angry monkey like this. Like, he's like, and he takes up, and he just chews screen time. He just chews it up in the most hammy way. And again, it's Halo, so, like, you can't laugh at it. This is deadly serious. Like, this is the most serious thing you've ever played in your entire life. But he's putting on the worst show possible. For like, this is straight out of Metal Gear Solid level, like, ridiculous behavior. But, like, it's just, like, because it starts off with him beating the mess out of Master Chief one-on-one.
Which, how did he get there? Like, where's the story of that? Because that didn't happen in Halo Wars 2, where suddenly Atriox and Master Chief were duking it out. Like, I'm sure it's explained in a book or something somewhere, but that information would be nice to have.
Oh, extremely nice to have. And then it's like, I'm going to beat you to an inch of your life, but then just leave you out and then just drop you out in space, like, lovingly? Like, why? Like, because by the end, you find out his big motivation against Chief is Chief's girlfriend blew up his planet. So, like, he's essentially out for not just revenge, but his whole drive is to kind of get his people back, like, to a place where they're formidable again, and no one can stand in that way. And here comes Chief. So, like, and in the end, there's, like, a sort of camaraderie there where they're like, Chief is like showing him respect, and Rodrigo, I think the dude's name is, this is like, why is this happening, Chief? He's the bad guy. He's like, well, he's just a soldier like me. It's like,
right.
So why has he been trying to kill you this entire time? Like,
I mean, it's almost like it's like it's trying to tell that story of just, like, you know, the actual good story. I shouldn't, that sounds condescending. A story that I enjoy in Halo is Master Chief. Like, he's not exactly a character that's, you know, going to jump off the page, but they have written content about him of just, like, a soldier of war. But it's a unique take on it because of the science fiction behind it. And it's almost like it's trying to tell that story of just, like, Master Chief is just a soldier of war, and Eshrim was the same way. It's just like, it's just war is bad kind of thing. And it's like, and there's the people that suffer are the people on the battlefield kind of thing. And it's like, sure. Like, maybe, but it's, again, it's not told well. It's just, it's not told in a way that is compelling or even, it doesn't mesh with the rest of the game that it's accompanied to.
All in all, it ends up being one of the worst, if not the worst, told Halo story.
It's not good.
It might be the worst for me. Like, I mean, I didn't like 5.
But the The production value, I think, is the part that drives me almost nuts. It's just like, Five, for all its issues, it looked amazing cutscene wise. Like they really tried to sell that world and that story. And this game, it just, I needed more. Like, give me 10 minutes of expose and at some point, like, give me 5 minutes at the beginning to sort of bring me into this world. And it's just, it's shocking how messy it is coming off of Five, which they overdid it, you know? Like, there's a freaking fist fight between Locke and Master Chief that goes on way too long. Like, but it's there and it's content and it's explaining and trying to put some weight to the stakes in the story that's told here and here, and it's just missing here. Like, there's just so much missing here. It's super weird.
And I think at the end of the day, they did a good job, a good and a bad job of getting back to basics. The best part about this campaign is feeling like you're back in Halo, like just pure basic Halo. But because of that, it leaves room for just so much more to be done gameplay wise. Because, I mean, I don't even think you can assassinate people. There are not assassinations in this, right? I was not screwing this up. I mean, nope. Just like little things like that brings the game into the future, the present, if you will. Like, just little things to say, yes, yeah, it's Halo, but we're still with present times. And it's like, they took the safest route possible and just said, let's just make pure Halo and not add anything new to the mix. And in a way that works, in a way it doesn't, because Sally looks like the only thing they can do, the only thing that Halo players really want is the most base Halo experience possible. Because it seems like if they try doing anything more, or if they did do anything more, it was met with some backlash, which is unfortunate. I think they should keep trying to push the envelope with Halo. They should keep pushing it into the future, into the present. Whereas, like, I feel like Halo Infinite is a game that is, in a way, chasing its own ghost. Where it's like, let's just make the most basic Halo formula ever. And just make it open world like every other game has been open world and not do anything else besides that. And by doing that, you don't necessarily screw it up, but you don't make it exciting either. So I just ended up somewhere in the middle, just kind of bored of the whole thing.
No, I agree. It feels like a Gears 1, you know, or like, you know, like the first outing of some ideas. And it's a game that is coming after two, you know, one that was very, very poorly received and the one before it that was very mixed. And it's hard. Like, you know, there's a long history of a development of this game. It had issues, and that's the gaming industry. Making games is hard. You know, we've said that time and time again, but it feels like a victim of too many ideas or not enough ideas or lack of focus, you know, something happened during the development of this game that it's not all there, you know, it's not a finely tuned machine and it lacks something, whether it lacks vision, whether it lacks whatever, like, but it plays very, very well. Like, that's what they nailed. They nailed the core mechanics of it. Again, I'd say something like Gears 1, it's like you understood Gears 1. And the basics of it, and you played through it and you had some fun with it, but you could, you know, the minute you played Gears 2 and you go back and play Gears 1, it's just like, holy crap, like, this is so much better. Like, to me, this feels like that Gears 1 moment of just, but then the problem is that it's not, this is like the seventh main one. So it's super weird that they jump to this open world and they don't really do anything with it. So I don't want to give them, you know, an out by saying like, it's kind of like a soft reboot for them, but it's not a movie, you know, like you can't, it's much harder to do kind of thing. But unfortunately, it suffers for that reason, you know, and I still want to know what they were going to ship last year. Like, I genuinely want to know what was going to be there and what they spent that time doing. And not that I expected them to suddenly add new areas and new enemy types and stuff like that. But it's just like, was it really just all polished? Like, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm not part of the development team. But that's the stuff that I want to know, of just what was going to ship. Because, again, this isn't bad, but it's just, it's very okay. It's very, very okay. And when it comes to this show, Game Pass or Pass, you know, I look at the runtime, I look at the fun that I had, and I don't know if I can recommend it. Like, if you are someone, you know, you're either going to hop into this or you're not. And, you know, sometimes that's why I feel like when we do these episodes, I'm just like, this is stupid because you're going to play or not. But when it comes to us discussing this, I don't think I can pass this because I don't think there's enough good there to really satiate someone that's on the fence. Like, if you're on the fence, I'm like, no, I think you're good. I don't think you need to play this at all. But it just depends, I guess. You know, if they're really going to do the Sea of Thieves thing and just sort of build on this game and they just keep adding content to it, then maybe you should, but we don't know that yet. But it's weird because the game plays extremely well. Like, they've nailed that factor, but everything else around it is so bland to bad. I just don't think I can recommend it.
Yeah, this is by far, it's easy decision for me, by far the most bland experience.
You're cutting out again.
Easy decision for me, by far the most bland experience I've had with Halo. It's just, even the Halos that I did not actively like the ODST or whatever, I can at least say, like, they had a vision or something. Like, I could see the goal there, whereas this Halo Infinite is a totally incomplete package. It's underbaked, it's undercooked, it's missing things. It is.
And on that topic, I just want to say, like, the lack of co-op,
it's a joke.
After playing it,
it's a joke. Yeah,
it really hurts it because the game is begging you to play with somebody else because it gives you soldiers and it gives you, you know, it does the thing where, like, it gives you Dom the whole time. It's like, I really wish someone else was playing with it. That's just how it's better that way. And this game feels that way. It's like, this would be so much more fun if I was just playing with somebody. So that way I didn't always have to drive around the Warthog, you know, like, it's weird. And I don't understand why that's so far out and why that's missing at launch. It's a huge swing and a miss. Like, I don't know. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal to me, but after playing it, I was just like, man, I just super freaking wish that was here. I really do.
No, this campaign for Halo, this as a Halo campaign, to me, this is an embarrassment. I personally wouldn't pass it. Like, just not now. This seems to me, like you said, like a Sea of Thieves type of thing, where we at first did not pass it, but then we came back to it multiple times. I think this might be a game you come back to multiple times, depending on how they really support it. The world's empty enough to put things in it. So please put things in it, like some sort of, like, dungeons or major bosses, or like put some huge things on the map, like put like in Gears, you have the big that huge monster thing that has the cannons on the back.
Brumac.
Yeah, like put a few of those in the map. Like, why is it so empty? There's nothing here. Yeah. Like, but again, because of that, I'm good, man. Like, just do not play this.
Yeah, and I know that's gonna upset some people, but I want to stress that, like, I don't think this game is bad by any means. Like, it's a solid 7 out of 10. Like, I can look past some of the story stuff, but the design and stuff, like, again, I have fun playing it, but I only have fun in small spurts because of the design. And I think the design is just uninspiring. Like, it's just not, it's not great. Like, it's totally fine. I've played worse, but I've also played a heck of a lot better. And because of that, it's just the time commitment of it being an open world game. And it's just like, but it's not a 40-hour game by any means, but I just, the story's not there. Like, the story's not going to hold you. The gameplay might get you through to the end, but it's very repetitive. It's just, when it comes to this show, Game Pass or Pass, It's shocking to say, but Halo Infinite is a pass for us. So there you go. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. This is our last episode of the year when it comes to new games. Our next episode, we're going to be talking about, the next couple episodes, we'll be talking about our Game Pass Game of the Year as well as our state of Game Pass. We always try to do a little review of the year and what we think about the future of Game Pass and what else is going on in the industry. So that is going to do it. You can shoot us an email, gpopfans@gmail.com. You can also shoot us a voicemail, 574-651-9256. All right, that is going to do it for 2021 when it comes to new games. We'll see you next time with our Game Pass Game of the Year.
Good day, sirs.
I was waiting for it.